Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS. Thank you for joining us. About one in every five U.S. households owe more on credit cards, medical bills, student loans, and other non-collateralized debts than they have in savings and other liquid assets. That's according to a new University of Michigan report, and its author, Frank Stafford, an economist at the U of M Institute for Social Research, joins me now to tell us more about it. Frank, thank you for coming on the program this evening.
Glad to be with you.
I guess it's almost more surprising that 80% of the country's households actually have more savings than debt at this point of the recovery. Were the results of your study particularly hopeful?
Well, I think they are. We know that when we have economic turmoil, the people respond by, oh my gosh, I have to save. But what's interesting in our results is that, of course, oh my gosh, I have to save, well, but maybe I can't. So we have a big group in the population that when the financial crisis hit, they basically didn't have any margin to save, whereas maybe those who didn't lose a job think to themselves, wow, things look more uncertain. I better save. And when they do that, they may cut back on spending, and then they may also try to switch to safe assets. So you get the financial market turbulence from that adjustment.
Is there any idea of just how much debt is outweighing savings for many of these families?
That's not quite so clear. We do see that they've made almost no progress in getting rid of what we call non-collateralized debt. But part of that's due to the fact that student loan balances are on the rise. But we can certainly see that for the same families over a two-year period, a part of them who were near the bottom moved further toward the bottom. Of course, once you get to zero with your net liquid assets, you can't get much worse. But then on the upper side, people who didn't get laid off and had pretty good economic times start thinking, I better do something to protect myself. So their liquid assets went up substantially.
I see. So you're saying the wealthy actually have been doing quite well, while those that are not doing well are struggling even more?
Yeah, and certainly the wealthy, but, you know, the people that are, maybe we wouldn't call them as super wealthy, but who didn't have any adverse economic events, still worry about it. And when they start trying to protect themselves by saving, you know, then you have this reduction in spending and you have asset market turbulence.
See, basically, households, you're saying, have taken quite a defensive posture since the Great Recession. Does it compare to numbers we've had pre-recession to get a sense of how things have changed since then?
You know, I can't remember a case where we saw people going, you know, the families headed in these very different directions. So one group of families being in the low range, getting even lower, and then the people in the upper range protecting themselves, boosting their liquidity position. So, yeah, I think we definitely see these diverse responses in terms of how people cope with the financial side of the Great Recession.
I see. Now, your research found that about the same percentage of families in 2009 and 2011 had $30,000 or more in credit card and other non-collateralized debts, and about the same proportion had no such debt in both years. And the percentages are, I guess, what, less than 10% or so. When you look at these kinds of numbers, what is it telling you exactly?
Yeah, well, I think people are, you know, lots of responses. Again, we have the big shift to borrowing to cover college costs. But we also see another phenomenon, which we didn't report in this more recent news report, but the concerning pattern where people are saying, oh, my gosh, I'm really in bad shape. I better cash in my pension. If you have the type that you can withdraw funds from, we see a fairly high level of activity. Mm-hmm. People taking money out of their pensions, you know, midlife adjustment. So those dollars aren't going to be there to accumulate as they should for longer-term retirement.
I see. Well, it's certainly some desperate measures. About 20 seconds left. What about the households themselves, mortgages? How are families faring on that end?
The families that got themselves into the most trouble are the ones that, as of the good times back in 07, were basically making too big a commitment to housing. It was taking too big a bite out of their total family income in terms of the mortgage debt and taxes and heat and everything. Mm-hmm. So now they're the ones that are the most likely to be in trouble.
I see. Frank Stafford, economist at the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. Frank, thanks for joining us this evening.
Pleased to be with you.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to a Harvard neuroscientist about this study that finds that we love to talk about ourselves, and there's a really good reason for it. It involves your brain. You'll find out next. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.